It's time for the North Idaho Prepcast on IdahoSports.com.
That's right. Welcome in another edition of the North Idaho Prepcast on IdahoSports.com, breaking down the biggest stories athletically in Districts 1 and 2, week in, week out in the great state of Idaho. My name is Brandon Bainey. Let's bring on our North Idaho expert. It's Ryan Skaggs. What's up, Skaggs?
What's going on? So I'm going to adjust my... I have like one of those standing desks, and so I'm sitting right now, but I realized that it was a little too high, so it was like pushing me to the bottom of the screen.
No, you're good. You're totally fine. You're pushed to the bottom of the screen, but several track and field athletes from Prairie High School pushing their way to the top. How's that for a transition? We're going to dive right into
That's a 10 out of 10 on the segue there.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, we're going to mostly be talking district baseball and softball tournaments, but we did want to stop down into the world of track and field. We've been talking about some of these young men and women from Prairie High School down there in Cottonwood, you know, on and off throughout the spring. But last week, Ryan, at the at a singular track meet, the Meet of Champions, six different school records fell by the wayside at Prairie High School in one meet. I mean, that's just unheard of.
I mean, somebody's got to go test the water system and see if they've added something to get a little bit of extra out of their kids, because see that many records fall. I say that jokingly, though, but no, that's a pretty impressive. And I know that they're very well coached, and one of our friends, you know, Coach Hasselstrom, is very involved with the track program there. And yeah, I mean, you look at the Elvins and, you know, the other kids on that team, they've been insanely successful with the season they've had. And I know they've got high aspirations for some not only individual hardware at state this year, but a possible, you know, top podium finish as a team too.
Yeah. So the records that fell by the wayside on the boys' side, pole vault broken by both Briggs Rambo and Cole Duclos. So not once, but twice there. Also, the 4x2 set a new record in that relay, the 4x200. They're now ranked number one in the 1A classification as well. Trenton Lawrence set the new school record in the 200-meter dash, also number one in Class 1A. And then this is probably the most impressive on the boys' side, Ryan. The boys' 4x400-meter relay smashed a 29-year-old school record by over 7 seconds. What's more impressive, the fact that the record stood for 29 years, or the fact that when it finally did get broken, it just got absolutely shattered?
I mean, 7 seconds, you do the math on that for each split. I mean, that's individually, that's, you know, each leg is just absolutely shattering that. That's crazy. I mean, in a sprint too, that 7 seconds is a long distance. That's a quite a significant distance there. That's pretty impressive. And I mean, it's really impressive, but that team is just on a tear. And I know that they've got kids that are, you know, top leaderboard in the district too, not just in, you know, 1A classifications, but all classes too. I mean, they've got kids that are right in the mix with all the 5A and 4A kids. So, I mean, that program's really going places, and you know, hopefully they finish with a state championship at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be just insane. And then two girls' records were broken as well. The pole vault by Sierra Oliver and the 1600, the mile. Sydney Shears broke the record there for Prairie as well. So, I mean, just an incredible day of achievement at Prairie High School last week at the Meet of Champions. And now just quickly peeking ahead to the district meet, because 1A track and field doesn't always get its flowers, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, you look at the short sprints, Skaggs, there is a stud from almost every school, but in particular, yeah, Trenton Lawrence from Prairie, Kofi Apia from Mullen, Sawyer Hewitt from Kendrick, and Jackson Marone from Troy. All four of those young men are going to be going head-to-head in the short sprints, and it's going to be fascinating to see who comes out on top.
No, it's going to be, I mean, you talk about a who's who race there. That's, you know, not just a football all-star game, but like, I mean, you talk about on the track, that's an impressive group of young men there that, you know, you expect to see as weather. I mean, I don't know if you've checked weather or not, but the next couple weeks look amazing. We could see some blistering splits and blistering times on the track, you know, in the next 14 days. statewide, not just in North Idaho, but I mean statewide when you take into the postseason events and everything else into the mix. So yeah, I mean I would expect to see, you know, some pretty fast times coming up this week.
Yeah, Jared Cash, the head track and field coach for Prairie High, sent us an email with all of these great tidbits. I think this is the coolest part. They're hoping that Trenton Lawrence maybe has a shot at not just school records, which he has, but now district records in some of those short sprints. The 200-meter dash record currently held by London Kirk from Deary. That was just a couple of years ago, but the 100-meter dash record is 29 years old, Ryan. And who is it held by? Jared Cash, the head track coach at Prairie High. And he says, I would love it if Trenton Lawrence broke my district record in the 100.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think any coach you want to see, especially one that's holding a record, they're going to root for their own kid. So that's awesome. And he hats off to coach too for sending us all those info. Like, the guy's a wealth of information. He had, you know, stats on stats that he sent to us over the weekend, and we're very appreciative to him and wish them the best of luck. I mean, that Pirates team loaded for bear, and you look at, I mean, statewide, the North has got some phenomenal athletes that are going to enter state competition, you know, in the upcoming days.
Yep. Sydney Shears from Prairie did just set the new school record in the mile. She is going to try and do what few have done, and that is knock off Sarah Casebolt from Logos in the distance races. Casebolt has committed to the University of Idaho to run track for the Vandals. So we'll see if somebody can finally knock off Sarah Casebolt from Logos, maybe Shears, maybe someone else. And then we've talked about these incredible throwers from Prairie this year as well, yep. Right? Sage Elvin and then Benny Elvin. They are siblings, Ryan. Sage won the state discus last year at the 1A level. She had the top discus throw in the state for a long time this year. And then Benny Elvin in the discus as well. Coach Cash says he's grown about 4 inches and he's put on about 30 pounds since last year.
That won't hurt.
A little growth spurt for Benny Elvin. And so here's one more fun fact from Prairie as we wrap up our track and field talk here. Prairie's throwers coach was a state champ 29 years ago in the discus as well. He just happens to be Sage and Benny's dad, Matt Elvin, who is also the principal at Prairie High School.
Yeah, there's a lot to say about genetics. People can't say like, genetics don't matter. It's like, beg to differ. I mean, but yeah, you look at that town, and Prairie's historically just had some phenomenal athletes come through. But I think what really gets overshadowed, I think, at times is the quality of coaches that they've had over the years. And you look at the people involved in, like, Coach Elvin and Coach Cash, and you know, we obviously talked about Coach Hasselstrom as well, that he was, you know, Hall of Famer in football, and still helps on the track and field side of things too. So there's just a number of people in that community that just absolutely pour themselves into the athletic programs at that school, and they've had success for a good reason.
Yep, pretty cool. Pretty cool to see. All right, let's move on to, and good luck to all of the district, you know, track and field and tennis athletes and golfers that will be competing here over the weekend. And next week is state, Ryan, which means no North Idaho PrepCast proper. Instead, we will have our statewide state baseball tournament preview special. That's going to be next Monday night, starting at 6 o'clock Pacific time. It'll go from 6 to about 7:15-ish, but you can watch it on replay, and we're going to break up the previews by individual classification as well on our YouTube channel. But next Monday, if you want to be part of the live preview show, starting at 6 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the IdahoSports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account. So with that said, let's see what's happening in the world of baseball and, you know, who's doing what. In terms of state bids clinched, so far just 4, but they're all from the Class 1A level. So here's what we're going to do, Ryan. For those that are watching on IdahoSports.com's YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account, I'll share my screen, and you can follow along with the brackets by watching. If you're listening at IdahoSports.com or wherever you download and subscribe to podcasts, it's all good. We have all the district brackets right on our homepage at IdahoSports.com, and you can follow along there. So here we go. 1A Baseball White Pine League. There ended up being a tie for first place for the regular season title between Kendrick and Potlatch. Kendrick got the tiebreaker, really semantics, because by finishing 1-2, Kendrick and Potlatch both automatically qualified for state by advancing to the four-team double elimination portion of districts. The top four teams automatically get to go to state. What was really key was last night, Ryan, there were two do-or-die play-in games. Number 4 Clearwater Valley against number 5 Prairie, and then number 3 Troy against number 6 Genesee. The winners of those games also advanced to the double elimination portion of the bracket. And so Troy took care of Genesee 9-5. Clearwater Valley won a tight one with Prairie 7-5. So here's the top four. This district tournament will take place Friday and Saturday at Orofino. And now everybody is playing for seeding at state. It's Kendrick against Clearwater Valley at 3:00. That'll be followed by the 2 and 3, Potlatch and Troy, at 5:30. Congratulations to all four of these teams. They all got to state a year ago, with the exception of Kendrick. And again, like we've said, there's a decent to very good chance that all four of these teams are in the semifinals at state also.
Yeah. And I think it was huge, though, to see Kendrick get that one seed, because that means they're going to be on the top line. Come, you know, well, obviously they have to win the district championship to get that top line. But getting the top line here, I mean, obviously you get to play that Clearwater Valley. You avoid the Troy game. Like, that's, I think, the telling one. That Potlatch Troy game in the first round is going to be an absolute dynamite ball game. But, you know, if Kendrick can get the district championship here, I mean, that seeding does matter come state, even though, you know, all four of these teams are probably going to be playing there. Or are going to be playing there, but it helps as far as, you know, matchups and where you get put on the seed line. And Kendrick would be able to avoid having Potlatch in their pod if they were able to win out, or Troy and vice versa. Whoever comes out of here, you kind of get to avoid playing one of the other top teams in your conference in that semifinal game. But realistically, I see them all playing each other in semis anyways and winning first round games. So I don't know if it really matters. It just reshuffles the deck a little bit.
Yeah, I think the most important thing here is that I won't try to predict how this is going to go, because all four teams are so evenly matched. Just get through with no injuries. And then, like I said, at state, I think they all advance to the semifinals. And from there, hey, we're going to lace them up and may the best team win. It's going to be so much fun to see.
You get to see a team at full rest. I mean, that's you get to go into state full rest. That's going to make a big difference, too. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And so the entire 1A state baseball field has been set, Ryan. We don't usually do this, but if we look at the other district bracket here, District 3, they'll send four teams to state also. Here's their top four. Lighthouse Christian, Glens Ferry, Idaho City, Vision Charter. They all have advanced to state also. And I just, based on history, based on, I don't see any of these four teams breaking through, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, the only one you could say that could really, I see being a spoiler, could be Lighthouse, but that's, I mean, you look at how dominant the North is right now with hitting and pitching and fielding. I mean, that's a tall task, because you're going to see one of those teams play like maybe a Clearwater Valley. Like, that's, Clearwater Valley's a tough program. They're not going to make it easy on anybody. So
yeah. So business as usual here for the White Pine, and congrats to, you know, Genesee and Prairie as well for fantastic seasons. There's always, you know, these two teams that fall in the loser out games. I think most years are capable of being at state. Like, if you were really taking the 8 best teams, you know, Genesee and Prairie probably both are there, but nothing to hang your head about. They both had great seasons as well. All right, 2A Central Idaho League, Ryan. We had opening round games Monday. Well, we had the play-in game last Friday. St. Mary's beat Priest River in the 4-5 matchup, 13-6. And then Monday we had opening round games. Number 1 Orofino beats number 4 St. Mary's, 5-2. Number 2 Grangeville beats number 3 Kellogg, 8-5. Orofino and Grangeville play tonight. It is Wednesday, May 8th. They actually play today at 3:00 in Orofino for the district championship and a spot to state. The loser of that game will play the winner of St. Mary's and Kellogg. They're going to battle at high noon. So in just a couple hours as we're recording this here, Skaggs. How do you think this ultimately shakes out?
I realistically think Orfino gets the title. They're going to punch their ticket. I see it. I wouldn't be surprised to see St. Mary's pull out the win here today over Kellogg. That wouldn't shock me one bit. I think it's just a matter of, I don't necessarily know who's up on the bump on in the rotation for both teams in this noon game today, but I see, I realistically, all said and done, Orfino and Grangeville, I see, are the ones that get through all of this, but they're obviously the two, in my mind, the two best teams in that bracket. But St. Mary's, Kellogg, they can both make things interesting. They both have some players in their own right. St. Mary's is one of those scrappy teams that's given a few, especially Grangeville and you know, some of the better teams, fits, like, just because they can hit the ball really well. So, you know, if offense shows up and that, you know, you're playing, I think temperatures today down in Orfino are going to be somewhere in the high 60s to low 70s. So, I mean, the ball could be flying out of the park today. I mean, that's always a possibility there along the river. It gets nice and warm there, and you're kind of sheltered in a beautiful facility. So, yeah, it's I realistically see it going chalk. I see Orfino getting the win today, and then Grangeville punching their ticket out of the loser out to that consolation final game, I guess you could say, game eight or whatever it is. But you know, or it could go either way. Or Grangeville could get the win and then Orfino punches. But I think those two teams are the ones that escape all said and done.
Yeah, I will say I agree. I think it's Orfino and Grangeville. Dangerous spot for the loser of Orfino and Grangeville, though, because you'll notice here they play at three. You've got to turn around right away and play whoever won between St. Mary's and Kellogg. It is tonight at 6 o'clock. So you're on to your third pitcher in 3 days. You're at the end of the road. And the team that wins over here has had time to rest and recuperate because they play at noon. Then we have the game at 3 o'clock between Orfino and Grangeville. And so you're talking about the loser of this game. Basically, it's a doubleheader and do or die. No time to dwell on the loss you just had because you got to get ready to go. So it's a dicey spot for whoever loses between Orfino and Grangeville. But
also it can be a benefit too, because you're getting your hacks in. And, you know, the team that typically comes out of a doubleheader and jumps in with a fresh team sometimes plays hot. I mean, just because their bats have already been alive. So, I mean, I could see it going both ways. I really could. But realistically, I think all said and done, the better teams are going to win. And I think that's going to be Orfino and Grangeville. Sorry, St. Mary's people and Kellogg people. Take some heat from probably like Jackson, Antel, and some other kids. But, you know, you're putting me on the spot to make a pick.
Yeah, no, it's all good. It'll be fun to see it all. It's all happening today in Orfino. We'll know the two teams that move on to state by tonight. Okay, 3A, Intermountain League. It starts today. Ryan, Timberlake, and Bonner's Ferry. We talked about last week. They play three conference games in the regular season. Timberlake had swept the first two and so had already inherited home field advantage. But Bonner's Ferry did win that last game last week to split the season series 2-1. So that being said, I really don't know. Timberlake's going to host today at 4 o'clock. And then they'll host tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And then if we need game three, that's going to be Friday at 4 o'clock. I guess I lean Timberlake because they did win 2 out of 3, but Bonner's Ferry had the most recent win. What do you make of this?
We could be seeing a game on Friday. I mean, realistically, it wouldn't surprise me. And Timberlake's a good team too. And they've got some good notches in their belt and through the season, but Bonner's Ferry is just one of those teams that can give, you know, it's so hard to beat somebody three times in a row. And so, you know, now you're looking to turn around and get two more in a row, or it's like, you know, do you drop the first and win the next two? I mean, this league with being two teams is so wacky. It's hard to pick these type of situations because of numbers and everything else. And we've seen it flip flop and go other ways, like in other sports and basketball and stuff. But it wouldn't be surprising to see them playing Friday afternoon. It really wouldn't. I mean, they're both good teams. I think Bonner's Ferry is better than their record. It's just, you know, playing a difficult schedule, plus, you know, coming through some of the motions of coming out of winter sports and everything else, it's taken time to kind of get into the motions of things. But I, at the end of the day, I see Timberlake winning and going to state, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see this game go to Friday, this tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes. It starts tonight though over in Timberlake. All right, 4A, class District 1-2. We had the play-in game Monday in Moscow. So Moscow won the regular season title. Sandpoint and Lakeland played. Sandpoint, the 3 seed, got the quote-unquote upset 8-5. So now it's Sandpoint and Moscow in a best of 3. Sandpoint beat Lakeland. Congratulations. You got to turn around and play Moscow right away. And Moscow won that game 7-0. If Moscow wins again today, the Bears move on to state. Sandpoint needs to win to force the decisive, if necessary, game 3. That would be Friday. I like Moscow here, but
I like the Bears. Yeah. to quote Bill Swirsky. The Bears, I think, get the win here. That's a tough lineup. I mean, and even if Sandpoint, you know, has their ace on the bump, I like Moscow's lineup. They're scrappy. They play really good small ball. They don't make a ton of mistakes in the field. They play really, really tight. I mean, behind their pitcher, they play really well, and they could hit the ball fairly well. So, I like the Bears getting the win here today and moving on to state.
Yep, I'm with you there. And then Class 5A, Ryan, District 1-2.
We got a champ.
We do. We do have a champion. We saved the best for last. Lake City, the number 1 seed. They win the district title by defeating Post Falls in the opening round 8-0. And then Coeur d'Alene last night, 9-1 in the district championship game. So Lake City moving on to state. Congratulations. On the back half of the bracket last night, Post Falls and Lewiston were playing in a loser out game. And the 4th seeded Trojans go to Lewiston and – oh, I'm thinking softball. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead here. Lewiston did win at home 2-0 over Post Falls in a tight game. So now you've got tomorrow night at Ted Page Field in Coeur d'Alene, the Vikings and the Bengals. The winner will advance to a state play-in game. Who gets the nod there?
Going back to the last game, what was it, like 11-6 or something, Coeur d'Alene won on Monday?
11.
I can't remember.
I'll look it up.
It's all good. But anyways, because I can't see the types, too small. They were neck and neck through the season, too. I think I'm going to take the Vikes to win. I'll take Coeur d'Alene to get to the play-in game. I'll just say this early. I like Lake City to finish in top 4. I think this T-Wolf team is absolutely on a total roll. And I think Lake City is going to finish top 4 at state. I mean, that's just me, outsider view, looking in. That this team's going to be playing on the last day and playing for a trophy. And then Coeur d'Alene, in the playing game, that's going to be a tough one. If you're playing a District 3 team, that's going to be a tough game. But I don't even know
I'll show you. Okay. So Coeur d'Alene did beat Lewiston in the tournament opener 11-0. They did
11-0. Yeah.
11-0. Okay. Yep. And so they play tomorrow. I think we like Coeur d'Alene to advance. And then look at the bleep show that's happening here in District 5, where you've got basically the 12 and 11 seeds are still alive playing for a chance to get to the play-in game. Number 5 Mountain View against number 12 Meridian, and then number 6 Bora against number 11 Capital. If it's Meridian Capital, I like Coeur d'Alene to win against either one of those teams. And I think it's pretty even with Mountain View and Bora also. So.
Yeah. I'll take Coeur d'Alene I'll take their chances in a playing game. I'll take the Vikings. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Who knew a 12 and an 11 would still be playing. And they had to win. They had to get upset wins in single elimination games. Just to get to the double elimination.
First 4, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. They went from first 4 to the final round here. So, yeah.
Made it to the Sweet 16. All right.
Yes. Yeah. So I think, and honestly, you know, if it's Lewiston that comes through too, I think Lewiston would have a good chance.
I think either of those teams could win. I think Post Falls, if they were still alive, I mean, any of those 3 teams you could throw in the mix, and I could realistically see sneak it, stealing a win in a play-in game.
Yep. All right. So Lake City was your district champ in baseball. In softball, though, it's the crosstown rival, Coeur d'Alene, as we switch to softball now. Congratulations to the Vikings. All of this happened yesterday at Coeur d'Alene High School, Ryan. Coeur d'Alene beats Post Falls 9-5. Lewiston, the 3, knocks off Lake City, the 2, 10-1. That sets up the championship between Coeur d'Alene and Lewiston. CDA wins 7-4. And then right away in a loser out game, Post Falls, the 4 seed, knocks out Lake City 7-1. Lake City, the 2 seed, 2 in barbecue. And so now Post Falls will travel to Lewiston Thursday. The winner of that game advances to a play-in game.
I'll take the Bengals. I think the Bengals win that. And I think, I mean, play-in game, I mean, I'd have to see the district bracket from down south, but I think Lewiston.
I'll show you. It's another bleep show.
Lewiston wins that game against Post Falls, I think. And, I mean, Post Falls, though, getting the win and the clincher against Lake City. I mean, you talk about clutch. That's, I mean, one loss can ruin you a little bit there, and you get kind of beat up by the Bengals there and all of a sudden just fall off the planet. It kind of stinks for the T-Wolves, but we've talked about Lewiston being tough, and this conference has been pretty tough all year, but I like Lewiston in that second place game. And then what we got from District 3?
Well, the number 2 seed Middleton went 2 and out. Something about being the number 2 seed, I guess. So you've got, and then look at this. Over here in the winner's bracket, number 7, Rocky Mountain, beat number 3, Eagle last night, 16-14. So you've got a 1 versus a 7 in the district championship game.
Oof.
Now, the good news is,
Capital and Eagle, they both, well, the loser goes to the play-in.
Yes. So Capital and Eagle, the loser goes to the play-in.
That's the one that takes on Lewiston, right? If Lewiston were to win, it's not the other one?
Correct. Okay. So unless Eagle were to lose this game, and then potentially it would be Bora or Timberline. So
gotcha.
Lewiston, I think they'll beat Capital. Any of these other 3 would be tough. But I'd give them a chance, but it would be tough.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be Capital. So, I mean, I think I would take District 3 in that situation. But, I mean, there's the motivation of bulletin board material for the Bengals. Take that one. Get the win tonight, but go earn it on Saturday or whatever your plan. So, yeah.
Yeah. And meanwhile, it wasn't that long ago that Post Falls was the, you know, top program in this district. Yep. And so don't count out the Trojans yet.
Yeah, either. Especially get a big win over Lake City. I mean, they could be riding a wave right now and make things tough.
They've got some big mo behind them, some momentum. Yeah. Okay, here's the 4A bracket, Ryan. Moscow won the regular season title here as well. So last night there was the play-in game basically between number 3 Sandpoint, number 2 Lakeland. Lakeland gets the win 12-1. They have to turn around and play Moscow immediately after. Moscow wins 11-1. So just like in baseball, they play tomorrow night in Moscow. If Moscow wins, they're the district champs. They move on to state. Lakeland needs a win to force the, if necessary, game, which would be Saturday at high noon. What happens here?
The Bears. I think Moscow gets the win tomorrow, and it's, yeah, that's it. So that's no offense to Lakeland. They got a big win. That's the first one I think they've had in a few years in the district tournament. But I like the Bears here, and I think they're going to hold suit and get the big dub and find their way into the state tournament.
Okay. That's it. And that's all. Duh, Bears. 3A Intermountain League. Timberlake took game 1 of the best of 3 with Bonner's Ferry Monday night, 17-1. They play again today at 4:00. I think Timberlake just tidies up and finishes.
Run it back. Yep. They're going to repeat tonight and take care of business.
I did get to see Timberline play a couple weeks ago. I told you about this, Mike.
Timberlake?
Yeah, what did I say? Timberline?
Yeah.
Sorry. Timberlake. I got to see Timberlake play a couple weeks ago. I told you this. My cousin, her daughter, is a senior at Libby High School in Montana, and Libby came over to Spirit Lake and played him in a non-conference game. And in that game, Timberlake hit 3 home runs, including a pair of 3-run shots. And so I was pretty impressed. They've got a long lineup. contributors 1 through 9. And so I think Timberlake could go to state and make some noise too, potentially. Yeah.
I think they'd be a tough out. Absolutely. So I like Timberlake winning tonight. I think it's going to be, they'll do short work and find their way playing next week.
Yep, for sure. All right. Central Idaho League. This tournament started Friday. Kellogg was the number 4 seed. They got the win over Priest River 11-3. That game was at 4 o'clock, I'm pretty sure. So that set up then yesterday, the opening round. Olchok, Orofino the 1 beats Kellogg the 4, 9-2. And then in the 2 versus 3, Grangeville over St. Mary's 12-3. That sets up tomorrow, Orofino and Grangeville for the district title. Kellogg and St. Mary's, meanwhile, will play in the third place game or fourth place game. The winner of that will play the loser of Orofino and Grangeville. This looks strikingly similar to the baseball bracket, right?
Yeah, and I think it's going to end opposite. I think Grangeville gets the win tomorrow. I'm going to take the Bulldogs getting the victory over Orofino, and then Orofino's going to win in the play-in game. There's a 1-2. The distance between the top two and then 3 and 4 is fairly – there's a gap there. So I like Orofino getting the hard way, getting the advance to state, beating either the winner of Kellogg and St. Mary's.
Okay.
I think Grangeville gets the championship outright tonight or tomorrow night.
Cool. I think they're both right there. I mean, they're both.
They
right
are. I just like, I think Grangeville's playing hotter than a pistol right now. And yeah, that's a tough team. That's a tough lineup.
For sure. All right. We'll wrap up with the 1A White Pine League. We had play-in games last night. Kendrick beats Lapway 15-0 in Julietta, 3 over a 6. And then the 4 versus 5, Potlatch beats Prairie 10-2. So it's all chalked there. The top 4 advance. And so now we have tonight in Genesee. Genesee will play Potlatch 1 versus 4. Clearwater Valley will play Kendrick 2 versus 3. The winners will advance to the district championship game, which will also be tonight, Skaggs. And the two losers will play in the third place game also tonight. This is all going down tonight in Genesee. Now, unlike baseball, only the top 3 placers are guaranteed a spot at state. Whoever takes 4th has to get in via an at-large bid. Essentially, they take 3 from the north, 3 from the south, and there's 2 at-large bids available via Max Prep's rankings. I think no matter what, though, all 4 of these teams are going to be at state.
Yeah, I think all 4 get into state, but I realistically see, I think Genesee runs the table. They're going to go 1. I like Kendrick out of the 3 seed as the 2nd place team. Then I will take Clearwater Valley, then Potlatch, but I think they both get in, but I think Clearwater Valley gets 3rd.
Okay, I like it. I
have to wait for that that magic lottery ball to get drawn.
Right, and I'll just really quickly, just to give everyone a frame of reference here for how the Max Preps rankings look. Genesee is currently 1 in the state for 1A. Kendrick is 3. Clearwater Valley is 4. Potlatch is 6. So you're looking at, just like baseball, you're going to get 4 from the north, 4 from the south. Unlike in baseball, though, there's at least one team from the south that's capable of winning state, Glens Ferry. They're going to be very difficult to navigate. I don't know if anybody else from the south can quite break through, but there is at least one team from the south that poses a threat in softball. So.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yep. Okay. And that is what's going on with district tournaments, Skaggs. This time next week, it'll be spring sports championships, and then
we're on summer vacation, baby.
the end of the school year.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're right around the corner, man. I see my neighbors across the street putting graduation stuff out, you know, next couple weeks for their daughter. And yeah, so it's there, man. It's right around the corner that this is going to wind down in the next week or so. And you know, what a year it's been. I mean, top to bottom, you look at successes within the North and districts 1 and 2, and you know, every sport has had some really, really bright spots. And I think there's going to be no shortage adding to that list here in the next week or so.
It's going to be fantastic. So you'll have next week off, because we're doing our state baseball preview special. But then in 2 weeks, it'll be the big spring sports extravaganza. We'll recap all of the championship performances, all of the noteworthy things from golf and track and field and tennis and baseball.
We're going to have a lot to talk about. We'll have a lot of title winners. I really do see a lot of champs coming out of the north, and especially you look at the track events too. There's going to be, we're going to be well represented.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. So rest up. All right. Take it easy.
Go back to work.
Get back to work with your day job. I know that's been crazy lately, so we'll let you
go. Yes, it has.
All right. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the North Idaho PrepCast, everybody. If you could hit that like button or the subscribe button if you're on YouTube before you duck out, that'll help everybody else find it a little easier on replay. And otherwise, enjoy the competitions this week and this weekend, everybody. And we'll see you back here next time for another edition of the North Idaho PrepCast on idahosports.com.